Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you, and we have got a lot to talk about because we're doing our podcast today, which is Monday, the final day, we're kind of hoping, thinking, of the Northern Trust because it was delayed and postponed because of all of the hurricane and the rain and water and everything that hit at Liberty National. So we're going to be talking with our good friend Mark Zucchino with PGA Tour Radio to let us know the conditions and kind of where we're at and where we're going to be headed in the final day, as we expect, again, this being the final day of the playoffs. And there's a lot at stake. There's still a lot. There's guys that are trying to play next week and guys that have already been eliminated for next week, and a little bit of money on the line as well. So we'll jump into that, see if John Rahm can keep his magic going, if Cameron Smith can keep his real magic touch going. They've had a day off, and what did the guys do? We'll talk to Mark about that as well in between while they're killing time in New York and waiting for the rains to stop and the hurricane to go by and everything else. So a lot to unwrap. Join us, as always, Frank Bassett in the Nashville studios. This is kind of a unique situation, Frank. Not often do we have a tournament where they predetermine during or even before the third round that the fourth round will be postponed. Hey, by the way, we're not playing Sunday. At best, we're going to play Monday, and if we have to, we'll play Tuesday. So it's a very unique situation that they have there at the Northern Trust.
It is, but the – hello, good morning, by the way. It is, but look at it this way. Very few tournaments have a hurricane that's on its way to impact the continuance of play. So they do have a meteorologist at the PGA Tour, and for this time, he was right. So there. I won't say his name.
They got it.
Yeah, they did. They got it right. This is strange. And Monahan said yesterday, he said, no matter what, we will complete this tournament. And he has to. These are the playoffs. I mean, this is it. This is for all the marbles.
There was thought, though, right, to just have a three. Maybe. You didn't know how much rain there'd be. It's a very low area. We've all watched at Liberty National, and you see across to Manhattan, it's right on the water. I mean, you're right there. You don't have a lot of elevation to absorb maybe a lot of rain. They didn't know how much they would get. Your part of the country in Nashville,
oh Lord,
unrelated to the hurricane, got besieged by, 20 inches of rain? So you never know.
They didn't know
what they'd be able to complete. There was thought that maybe Saturday's third round would be the final round, which to Cameron Smith and other people going really low, saying, okay, if this is the final round, we got to kind of play it like it might be the final round, if it's the third round.
You know, we can certainly find out from the man himself who is joining us right now on the line, doing the play-by-play this week at the Northern Trust, Mr. Mark Zucchino. Hey, buddy, what are you doing? What's happening?
Gents, I'm waiting for this golf tournament to get restarted like everybody else. But the good news is, we've been delayed several times already this morning as we await the restart for the fourth round. The good news is, for the first time in all these delays and announcements, they've actually opened the practice range. So it feels real, right? That's the first sign and the first, kind of nod that we might actually be going to play golf, is that they allow players onto the course, allow them to practice. That just happened a few moments ago. So this recent restart appears to be real, which would mean that our final group would tee off at 1:42 Eastern. So plenty of time to get it in, assuming we're done with delays and stoppages.
I would assume lift clean in place today.
So I'm assuming exactly the same thing. No official word yet. But
gotcha.
Soft all week, guys. Has been throwing darts. Take a look at what the previous numbers were going back to 2013, when Adam Scott won here, and take a look at, the winning totals when the playoffs stopped by Liberty National. And the scoring is nowhere near this. We've had multiple 62s this week. We had the 60 from Cameron Smith.
Wow.
I mean, they are just taking the golf course apart. And I really means two things. The greens are perfect. The greens are absolutely perfect at Liberty National. So these guys get started online and it holds. And they're also super soft. The entire golf course has been super soft all week. So they're playing darts. And now this is just going to add to it. So when you think that it's been so soft already all week, and now we've dumped this kind of rain hurricane on it, I've got to assume we're going to be left clean in place the rest of the way.
Well, it's certainly, not to jump on top of you, Tim, but I was looking at the hole placements this morning for round four. Mm-hmm. They're tight. They're on the edges everywhere. So they're going to force them to take some chances, I guess, today.
Yeah, and
they're
that's,
probably
and that's
force
exactly
them to take some chances and
do.
Probably try to hold some of these numbers back, right, guys? Hold some of these scoring numbers back. Probably not that the PGA Tour is as fixated on par as what the rest of the golf world seems to be all the time, but still, you know, I'd force them to take some chances and make it you know, if you go shoot 66 or 67 today, make that a really good round of golf, as opposed to really hasn't been. You've been shooting 60. Basically, you shot 68. You got lapped in round three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God. Yeah. I think we see that a lot at tournaments where, if you will, superintendents, PGA Tour, whoever's in charge, takes it personally a little bit. If guys start shooting 60s and 61s and 2s all over the place, there's kind of a pride factor, I think, that always happens. Wait a minute here. You know, I want to make sure that you're challenged. And certainly at a level like this, the Northern Trust, the FedEx Cup playoffs, a lot of money, a lot of next week, who's going to play, who's not playing kind of thing on the line. So, yeah, it's not surprising that they'll make it as challenging as possible. We're joined again by Mark Zucchino with PGA Tour Radio talking about the final round of the Northern Trust. If you guys look at a map lately, and again, we're coming to you with our podcast before they start the final round on Monday morning, and it's already been delayed. But if you look at the map, there's still a lot of rain all over, Mark, the whole greater New York area, New Jersey area. Hard to say exactly where it's headed because the bigger part of the storm, if you will, is moved north into the New England area. But there's still a lot of green and orange, if you will, on that map, showing a lot of rain in that area. Almost like you said, not sure how much you are going to be able to get in all 18 holes today or not.
Yeah, what they're hoping for is that the heavy rains are gone. Because I think, you know, listen, it's likely unrealistic that we won't get any rain at all the rest of the way. Now, hey, it's possible. These things move fast. As you mentioned, the big portion of this storm is kind of moved to the north already. So these are the trail ends that are still circulating. So, you know, it's a bit of a guessing game. Most of the forecast that I see for the rest of the afternoon, you can get, you know, anywhere between 40% to 50% chance of rain from 2 p.m. to 7 p.m., which is right in the heart of when we want to play golf. But is that, you know, are we just getting some spitting moisture or are we getting another downpour? If we get another downpour, I'm not so sure how much more the golf course can take. It drains exceptionally well. The crews are unbelievable. As you guys know, they've been out there for excessive amount of time this morning to get the golf course ready. In fact, from what I've been told, is really that was the reason for the last delay, was not necessarily bad weather in the area, not necessarily the winds were up too high. That's something we haven't even talked about as well. Is that, you know, we had still gusting winds at 30, 35 miles an hour this morning, and they were, you know, they call them gusting, but you know, outside the hotel, they were still pretty pretty thick. I got a text from Carney when he left the hotel, and he's like, oh, it's still howling out here kind of thing. So, yeah. I think the one thing that we haven't addressed is how long it took the golf course to be ready for play. And that's what the last delay was, is the crew just needed still way more time to get this golf course ready. Now, how quickly or how much rain do we need to undo that work by the grounds crew? I don't know. You know what I mean? Is a little bit of rain. Like, how much more can this property take? We'll find out if it starts to rain.
My understanding is they were running sub-air continuously through the last 24 hours, just to try to keep those greens in shape.
I could imagine. And I mean, the bunkers, the pooling in the fairway, there was a lot of pooling in most of the fairways with standing water that they needed to deal with this morning, and they couldn't deal with it till this morning. So to your point, Frank, I think the greens are probably, with a golf course like this, the way it's built and the technology they have, at a place like Liberty National, the greens are probably the least of the worry. It's likely all those areas that pool water, collect water, fairways, bunkers, etc. Let's hope that we're over the hump where, if we do get more rain, that it's not going to be an issue.
Well, let's back up to the start of the tournament, and I'm really interested in what your thoughts were while you were covering play-by-play on Friday with Jordan Spieth. I mean, and then Saturday with Jordan Spieth. What happened? What a round he had, and what a round he had.
Well, the round on Friday is like that's perfect Jordan Spieth, isn't it? Like statistically speaking, if you watch that round, see where he hits it, see how he hits it, how many fairways he finds, how many greens he hits in regulation, etc. It looks like an 80. You know, I mean, it looks like he's going to shoot 80, yeah. And yet he miraculously shoots 10 shots better than he opened with on Thursday. You know, he's holding out from the fairway. He's chipping in. He's pouring in putts that you know you don't think he's going to make, and somehow he pulls a rabbit. I guess the challenge is you go 72, 62, 72. Is that when you roll that, you can't play that game long term. You know, I mean, even Jordan, who's, you know, one of the greatest magicians in the history of the game. You know what I mean? You can only roll the dice with that type of ball striking so long. He hit 9 greens in regulation in his third round, 10 in his first round, only 11 in his second round. So, you know, it's not like he put on a ball striking performance for that 62. It was the same Jordan Spieth. The difference is it was chipping in. It was, eagles from the fairway, etc. It was magician-like stuff. He's just incredible. Here's the best stat for you guys to tell you why that Friday round was so exceptional. So he opens up Thursday, misses it all over the place, and he's 30th strokes gained around the green. Yesterday, Saturday in his third round, misses it all over the place. Can't hit fairways, can't hit greens. He's 52 in strokes gained around the green. Those are his 272s. The 62 hits it exactly the same way, second in strokes gain around the green. So he basically saved the day with his wedge. But it's fun. I tell you, I still think it's fun to watch. I don't know about you guys, but when he's holing wedges and scaring the hole from everywhere and hitting it all over the map, I find it exciting.
Yeah, it's hard not to get excited about him. And he does ride that momentum train pretty well. When he starts out in a tournament, any tournament, but he starts out well, it's almost inevitable that he's going to shoot well for the entire day. He really does get on a really great streak like he did in the second round. So we'll see where he goes. He's quite a ways back. Cameron Smith and John Rahm, both 16 under. And maybe we haven't mentioned the scores, but they're the guys that everybody's chasing, but they're not that far behind. Justin Thomas only a couple shots back. Tony Finau's right there. Shane Lowry, Victor Hovland, the great Canadian, Corey Connors, right there at 12 under. So a lot of guys have a shot at this. How do you see the final round? Let's assume it's going to be on Monday, Mark. How do you see the final round playing out? A lot at stake, but a lot of guys are right there, 3 or 4 shots. As we've said, a lot of guys have gone low previously in the first 3 rounds. Somebody's got to put on a show. It may not be a Cameron Smith 60, almost a 59, but how do you see this final round playing out?
Well, I think if it's playing a little tougher today, even with some tight hole locations, with the ball likely ball in hand and super soft conditions, I think it's going to be another go low for final round. So if you come out of the gates making par like Justin Thomas did, you know, Justin Thomas has hit it so good all week, but cannot get out of neutral on that front nine, especially in his third round. If a player is trying to chase these guys from behind, that ain't going to cut it. You're going to have to make birdies and make them early. And I think that goes right through this entire leaderboard. And the one thing I'm really curious about is this is kind of a situation we've never had before. It was a predetermined day off in the middle of a golf tournament, right? We had 3 rounds over and a predetermined day off where we didn't even try to play golf. Everybody took a timeout and now it's coming back to the golf course. And what I'm curious about is, and you guys, we see this every week, right? A guy shoots 60, 61, can't follow it up the next day. You can't, it's so hard to go back to back low on the PGA Tour. A lot of the guys say, because, you know, they go out there and they try to mimic or they try to follow the map that was laid out for them the day before. And I'm curious if one day off, Cameron Smith being, you know, more than 24 hours, closer to 48 hours removed from his 60, if that will benefit him, if it'll be easier for him to kind of get reset and treat this as a separate round and not as a carryover from that 60, which would, you know, in theory, allow him to go low again in a final round. I'm curious because, you know, I mean, we don't have any examples of this. We don't have a playbook on this. So it's going to be really interesting to see how he starts this golf tournament. But how's it not a birdie fest? You know, the only way it's not a birdie fest is if the winds are howling. If we're playing in crazy winds, then that seems to be the only thing that really stops the PGA Tour player, isn't it? Right? Crazy winds can defend any golf course at any time. So a lot will depend on the wind conditions later on today. But if the winds are not up, we've got super soft. It's going to be someone's going to have to, you get to think, listen, okay, pars today is 66, 67. I got to go out and shoot that at least to have a chance if you're anywhere in these last six players.
Well, I think, too, that the thing that's interesting is we somewhat, and I say it collectively, everybody, golf fans, kind of lost in the Cameron Smith 60, the fact that Van Ruyen shot 62. Oh, Shane Lowry put up a 62. And, oh, by the way, Corey Connors shot a 62 in the third round. So these guys were only a couple of shots off of where they were or where Cameron Smith was. So you're right. There are a lot of low, low numbers. Normally a 62 gets a lot of headlines and a lot of attitude towards that. What a great round. But they kind of got lost because Cameron Smith. By the way, did you guys think he'd make that putt? That was a very makeable 12-footer or so for his 59. What did you think, Frank, when he was lining up for that putt to go low to be, what, the 13th guy to break 60? I kind of felt good about it. He was hitting the ball really, really well. I thought he was going to make it.
I did, too. I thought he was going to drain it, and, you know, whatever. It is what it is. 59's a tough number to make. 58's even tougher, and we know who did that. But
yeah.
here's something I want to throw in. In his post-round interview with Amanda Baleonis, our friend Amanda, used to be with us at PGAtour.com, now CBS, John Rahm was asked, how did you approach Saturday today? Did you approach it like you thought it was going to be the last round of the tournament? And he said, absolutely. A lot of us did. We thought, this thing's going to be called, so we better just go after it and get as low as we can get. And I think that's what happened out there, don't you, Mark?
Yeah, that's certainly part of it because, you know, I know Commissioner Monahan suggested that we would go into Tuesday, if need be, to complete this golf tournament and whatnot. So I know everybody in their mind had, you know, the long approach on this. However, we're talking about a hurricane and a major storm. You don't know how long this is going to hang around. So yeah, you know, what if this thing gets wiped out? We better go as low as possible kind of thing. And I think the swing that John Rahm would really want back is the approach into 13 that he rinsed. I think that's the swing he certainly would take back if he could have one.
Yeah.
That really changed things. You know, you're going to make mistakes. That 14th hole was playing surprisingly difficult with the gusting winds at the players' backs, and they can't feel off that tee. So we saw a lot of guys kind of chop it up at that little par three. And if you were listening to our broadcast or watching it on TV, you're probably sitting there going, how are these guys making a mess of 147-yard par three? These guys have wedges in their hand, you know, but there's a lot of wind there they can't feel. And if you miss long, it's trouble. We saw, you know, Justin Thomas, Tony Finau, and we saw John Rahm struggle with that hole. I think the 13th is the hole, the swing he'd like back. And, you know, he should likely really be at 18 under par right now and have, you know, firm control. I won't say certainly firm control, but certainly a two-shot lead heading into the final round, all likelihood. I think the 67 that he shot in round three is the worst number he could have shot. But you're right, Frank. I think maybe all those 62s and that 60, maybe the mindset was, let's go win it today just in case. You know, we saw 229s on Saturday. You know, we had a 29 from Corey Connors and a 29 from Doug Yen. So, I mean, like, you're right, Tim. Normally, 62s get a lot of headlines and 29s get a lot of headlines. It seems like nobody's talking about them.
Yes, Tony Finau is another one that is playing some pretty good golf right now. He's come into his own again. He's sort of cyclical.
Well, it's all about, Frank, it's all about Finau finishing, isn't it?
We've seen Tony
do this repeatedly. Three great rounds. He's right there. He's in the hunt. He's got the lead. He's won back, whatever. And it comes down to the final round, this day being Monday, and he just seems to not always blow up, but he shoots par or somewhere around there where it's, as we're saying today, you're gonna get lapped on the field if you shoot par or shoot 67, 68 even. Rahm shot 67 in the third round and lost seven shots to Cameron Smith with a 67.
Yeah.
So That's Finau's thing, isn't it?
It's never about the ball striking with Tony, right, guys? It's always the same story. Like, he hit 16 greens on Saturday.
How
you can shoot, how you can hit 16 greens and kind of get, you know, felt like you, you know, you're stuck in neutral. You're 68.
Yeah.
Like 68 was even par on that golf course on Saturday. Yeah. And he did it by hitting 16 greens. It's just, to Tim's point, the putter goes cold on the weekends, and that's what's holding him back. But he's such a great ball striker, and he's a mainstay in the Tour Championship, it seems. Like, it's almost book him to Eastlake. But you guys know as well as I do, he wants to win. He wants that second PGA Tour victory, and we're still waiting for it. It likely should have happened by now. But I think he maybe just needs to putt a little bit more aggressive on the weekend, especially on Sunday. So
here's my answer. What we're going to do is we're going to get Tony and we're going to get Brad Faxon, and we're going to lock them down at Old Waverly in South Mississippi.
That's the cure.
Yeah, and that's the cure. We're going to get them together for a long weekend, and just they're not even going to play golf. They're just going to putt every green. Just walk around and putt every green for 2 days.
Well, we'll see what happens. It is about confidence, and see if Tony can have that confidence as the final round gets started. Mark, we do appreciate your time. We know you're really, really busy today, and you're kind of condensing everything into today and trying, hopefully, as we all hope, that they get the final round in for the Northern Trust. But again, thank you for taking some time out of your busy schedule to talk with us and give us some great insight into today's final round.
Anytime, boys. Love talking with you guys. And looks like we're pretty good for 142 for that final group. So fingers crossed.
We'll certainly be listening, and also listening to Golf Talk Canada, which is your show that you do every week, and your TV show too. So, you know, give our listeners how they can find you up there.
Well, if any of your listeners are in Canada, they likely know us. But
yeah, they do.
we're on TSN Radio every Monday, although I'm abandoning my own show today because of PGA Tour duties. So my co-host got me covered every Monday, 10 to 12, coast to coast on TSN Radio and iHeartRadio. And then our TV show is every Wednesday, and they repeat it Thursday, Friday, etc., across the TSN TV network. And Frank, I'm worried about the TV show at this point. Will I be able to show up for that? Because who knows? Are we done tonight?
Yeah, with a floppy hat and waterlogged tennis shoes, you'll be fine.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, buddy. Be safe and
all
have
Mark,
fun.
Take care.
Looking forward to listening to you.
You too, boys.
See you, man.
Take care. Mark Zucchino, PGA Tour Radio. And yeah, he's going to have a busy, busy day trying to get that in. Is that realistic, Frank, that if indeed they can't finish it, let's say they get stopped again in mid, and you talk about taking it to Tuesday and Wednesday, well, of course, the next tournament is right there, BMW Championship. They don't want to be delayed. They don't want to lose out on guys getting practice rounds in and whatnot. How far can they actually go? I can't imagine. I mean, Tuesday would be, I think, the ultimate. You can't go into Wednesday, could you? For this tournament I'm talking about. I mean, I don't see how they may have to. Luckily, they're not going very far, right? The BMW is in Maryland.
Yeah.
This year.
Well, guess what? Right?
They're playing it.
It's wet too.
Valley Golf Course. So yeah,
it's wet too.
They may have to delay the start of that one because they're just down the coast from New York to get to Maryland. So I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things that I'm sure if you're Jay Monahan or any of the people at the tour,
well,
who do you blame? God?
Stress.
I mean, what are you gonna do? The weather's the weather.
Stress makes you thirsty. It just does.
Look at you. Look at you.
It does.
What a lead-in. What a lead-in. And if you are thirsty, and if you are wondering what you're going to do today or any day while you're getting ready to watch the final round of the Northern Trust or anything else that you've got going on, then we highly recommend that you try one of our very favorite drinks and should soon be your favorite drink, Arnold Palmer Spiked. It's, of course, that classic blend of iced tea and lemonade that you already love. You've been drinking it for years and years with a little bit of kick in it, 5% alcohol by gives you a little bit of extra something there, and it will become your go-to drink, I promise you. If you wanted to know where you can find it in a local restaurant or a store near you, then all you have to do is go to arnoldpalmerspiked.com/GTA. That's arnoldpalmerspiked.com/GTA, and you can find out exactly where you can purchase Arnold Palmer Spiked, or, of course, get to the app for either Drizzly or Instacart, and you can order it right there, and they'll deliver it right to your front door with any of your other favorite beverages. So, again, it is the perfect drink for this time of the year, especially when it's hot, whether it's rainy or not. But it's a great time to get out and do all the activities you want to do and make sure you have Arnold Palmer Spiked in either the multi-packs or the tall 24, can't get enough, 24-ounce can, perfect for sipping all day long. Arnold Palmer Spiked.
I love it. Hormel Brewing Company, Memphis, Tennessee. Drink responsibly. I think that's what I'm supposed to say. Is that correct? Was that it?
Malt beverages and natural flavor. That's pretty much everything right
that's
there.
Good. I don't have my papers in front of me. Sorry. But
that's okay.
Drink responsibly.
Drink responsibly.
That's the main thing.
Let's just say that part. Let's just say that part.
Arnold Palmer Spike's good stuff, man. I actually,
it is.
We do a lot of advertising. We have a lot of great advertisers on this show. Arnold Palmer Spiked is right up there at the top as far as I'm concerned because it's good, yeah, and I like it a lot.
Well, it hits a chord with everybody. I mean, who doesn't like Arnold Palmer normally? Then you put just a little bit of a little adult beverage in there with it.
Well, you don't have to. It's in there.
It's
already in there. But if you take that 24-ounce can and pour off 2 ounces, you can add something if you want to.
Look at you. Look at you. You got it all figured out.
I went to Ole Miss. 2 ounces down, you add 3. Well, I don't know. Would it run over? I don't know.
That works, yeah.
Never mind.
The math works.
Get me out of here.
Hey, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back, talk a little bit more about the Northern Trust, look forward to the next stop on the FedEx Cup playoffs, that, of course, is the BMW Championship, and talk a little bit about what's coming up at French Lick, another one of our great sponsors. They've got a big event coming up at French Lick Resort. We'll talk about that and a lot more. When we come back, you're listening to Golf Talk America, and we're going to return right after this.
Are you dealing with thinning hair? Well, I'm here to let you know there's now a holistic solution for men that promotes both healthier hair and whole body wellness without drugs or prescriptions. It's Neil Michaels to introduce you to Nutrafol. Nutrafol is clinically shown to improve hair growth, thickness, and visible scalp coverage while also supporting sex drive, better sleep, and less stress. In a clinical study, men showed progressive improvement in hair growth and thickness after as little as just 3 months. And Nutrafol is recommended by more than 1,500 top doctors. You too can grow thicker, healthier hair and support our show by going to Nutrafol.com and entering the promo code GOLFTALK to save $15 off your first month's subscription. That's the best offer anywhere, and it's only available to U.S. customers for a limited time. There's free shipping on every order. Get $15 off at Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com. Use the promo code GOLFTALK.
Hey, it's John Ashton from Those Weekend Golf Guys, and I was talking to Frank just the other day about daily fantasy sports, and I said, Frank, you play? And he went, well, I used to, but I'd never win. I said, well, that doesn't surprise me. 85% of people who play daily fantasy sports lose. The game's rigged against you. You're playing against thousands of other lineups and experts with a lot more tools and a lot more time than you have, so you don't stand a chance, Frank. And then I told them about Stat Hero. It is the first ever daily fantasy sports book that puts the player in control and winning within reach. Here's how it works, okay? Stat Hero will show you their lineup, and then they dare you to beat them. You see, it's you versus the house in a head-to-head fantasy matchup. You name your stakes, and it's winner-take-all. You have the advantage. Try it yourself. Go to stathero.com/golftalk. Sign up for free, and right now you can get 3 times back on your first play. They're giving you a 300% match, and that's unheard of. stathero.com/golftalk. This is a game even Frank could win.
And welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett with you as we're finishing up. We had Mark Zucchino on with PGA Tour Radio, and we're talking about the final round of the Northern Trust, which has been delayed and delayed and delayed all the way into Monday, and now delayed today being Monday that we're doing for a few hours to try to get the rain and the wet golf course conditions fixed. And in the meantime, Frank, a lot of these guys probably going to their masseuse, going to their therapist, doing all the things you got to do to get ready for the next round. They had all of yesterday off. And aches and pains, part of the game of golf, isn't part of the game of life, is it not?
Yeah, I got to tell you, it is. You know, you and I are both really lucky, Tim, to get to do what we do, the job that we have, and talking about playing golf, playing in pro-ams and all that. But as I've gotten older, it's not as easy for me. It's like this week, I have to play back-to-back 2 pro-ams. Which it's a lot of golf and a lot of walking up and down the hills at French Lick Resort. And I got to tell you, at the end of my round, my hands, my feet hurt. I get achy. I mean, even when you use a cart, you still have to walk a lot. And the strain on my feet gets really painful. But I just assumed I'd have to live with it, you know? But and I was skeptical about everything that was out there, what you could take for pain, for inflammation. And then I tried the 100% drug-free relief factor. I don't know if you know about this stuff, Tim, but what a difference it made for me. I take Relief Factor every day. My hands don't hurt nearly as much. My feet don't hurt. It's really an incredible product. I can play back-to-back days in a golf tournament without having pain every time I move for days after. The pain level in my hands used to be close to a 6-7, and now it's maybe a 1 or 2. My feet, the same thing. So I'm all about the Relief Factor product. It's incredible. It's natural. Can't begin to tell you what a difference Relief Factor's made. So if you want to feel the difference for yourself, do what I did. Go to relieffactor.com/golftalk and order the 3-week quick start. It's heavily discounted at just $19.95, which is less than a dollar a day. The only way to know for sure if Relief Factor will work for you, like it worked for me and tens of thousands of others, is to try it for yourself and feel the difference. So go to relieffactor.com/golftalk today and take the pain-free challenge like I did. Who knows? In just a few short weeks,
nice.
You could be pain-free too and shooting in the 60s or 62 really, or whatever.
That comes with, that's going to be an asterisk next to that. We can't guarantee your scores are going to be in the 60s.
But it works. It works, man. And well, I was skeptical.
You're not popping prescription pills.
No.
Right? And we all know you can't do that. You don't want to do that.
Drug-free.
Yeah, drug-free.
Yeah,
that's the natural part.
So guess what? It's Relief Factor. Folks, go out and do it. If you take Relief Factor, it's drug-free, you can have an Arnold Palmer spiked. I'm just saying.
It's a Relief Factor. Yeah,
but it is a good product. And we love our sponsors, but I really do like Relief Factor, too. It works. So there you go.
Hey, you mentioned French Lick. What's going on in French Lick? Tell everybody.
Well, guess what? I'm heading out after the show. I'm heading to French Lick for the rest of the week and the weekend and into Monday of next week. So I'll be there Monday, whatever. This is the final major, the Senior LPGA Championship. When I say senior, it's 45 and older on the LPGA Tour to be a senior, not 50 like on the PGA Tour. So you've still got some, think about Stankowski, what he could have done at 45, just going straight into the senior PGA Tour or the championship.
I've always said 45 in golf is a much better. Yeah. Wait until 50 is a little too much, I think. For
but
most
this
people,
is,
so I think the women have it right.
This is it, and we had the British Open or the Open Championship this past weekend, and
the ladies, very dramatic finish.
Wow, dramatic shank out of the bunker from Adson. Oh Lord, poor thing.
Sorry.
I was texting back and forth with Jane Crafter, who played on the LPGA, and she's a broadcaster also, does Golf Channel, PGA Tour Radio, and all that. And we both just went, Carnoustie, shank out of the bunker on 18, tied for the lead, and it blows it for her. And then she proceeds to 3-jab and drops 2 spots and is tied for third. Yeah. That was really sad. But back to the Senior PGA Championship, buddy. It's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of the names that you know are going to be there, former Solheim Cup.
Yeah, who would be there? Who would people?
Oh, let's see. Rosie Jones. Laura Davies, okay. She just won a major. Laura Davies is going to be there. Lieselette Neumann, the 2-time champion captain of the Solheim Cup and winner. And on it, Chris Cheddar is going to be there. I mean,
and which course are you playing at French Lick? They have the Donald Ross, and they also have the Pete Dye.
The Pete Dye. This tournament's on the Pete Dye course. And we have 2 pro-ams,
nice.
So I'll be playing Wednesday and Thursday in those. And then on Sunday, we'll be live on the Golf Channel, streaming, golfchannel.com, 2 to 5 Eastern time. So Brian Hammonds and Jane Crafter will be in the booth, and yours truly will be down on the course doing some play-by-play work. So it's going to be fun.
Calling some shots.
Calling some interviews.
It's all going to be very COVID-friendly, too, because we're kind of a whole new restart of the COVID thing, but everything's going to be fine there. You're going to – no fans, I guess. Is that correct?
No. There'll be fans.
There will be.
Absolutely have patrons. Yes, tickets are still available, too, so go to frenchlick.com or anywhere in the area. If you're in Nashville, it's 3 hours. What a great opportunity to go up on a Sunday
right in Louisville.
And see the final round. Louisville, an hour away, So, it's going to be great.
These women are some of the friendliest athletes. I know in past any kind of sports activity, athletes have sometimes gotten a bad rap, and usually it's just a few bad apples that kind of cause that. But these ladies are so genuinely happy to have people there to watch, to help them participate in what they love to do and play golf. It's a really great experience if you can get there and watch. They're so grateful, if you will, to have people there to appreciate what they're doing. That it should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward. It's three rounds. Is that how many rounds they play?
Yes, three rounds.
Or they play four.
Friday, Saturday,
three
Sunday.
Rounds. Okay. Yeah.
That so three rounds is plenty on that golf course. Hey, you played it. You
it's
know.
About three. It's about two and a half too many for me, but I'm good for nine.
It's tough. Yeah, you know, they've had a lot of championships course. On that Pete Dye course. The senior PGA championship was held there. The PGA Professionals Championship, NCAA Championships. It's a toughie. It is a toughie, but it's going to be fun. I got my pre-production book over the weekend, 141 pages. Thank you.
Wow.
So, yeah, I know. And
it's like you're going to law school.
Pretty much, yeah. And I was watching the coverage of the Scottish, in Scotland, of at Carnoustie, of the Women's British, and listening to Karen Stubbles and Jerry Foltz. And, boy, they do a good job. Foltz and Stubbles, of course, are a couple. And so they really bounce off of each other really well. She is, of course, in the booth with, I guess, Grant, and he was on the course doing play-by-play. So I was trying to jot down some notes about how he says things, and that he's just really good, really good coverage.
Well, I think, too, the challenge you're going to have, but here's what's good about it, I think, from a broadcast standpoint, because you have to be close enough to see what's going on, far enough away not to interfere, right, with the people and noise and whatever's happening there. But luckily for you, in the sense that you'll have a cart, so luckily in this sense, that the Pete Dye course is very, very hilly. So
yes.
You've got all kinds of vantage points where you can get to places. If you're playing at different courses, and even the Donald Ross is a lot flatter than the Pete Dye there in French Lick, you have a challenge trying to find a high spot that you can also see if the putt's going in or where their shots are coming from.
Exactly.
But there you won't have a problem. You could stand in some points. I'm sure you know them because you've played there so often. You could stand probably in some points and catch four or five different holes because there's a green over there, there's a tee box down there, there's a fairway over here. You can get to some of those high points and really see an awful lot. That'll be an advantage for you to find some locations that you won't be that close to the action to interfere with it, but you'll still be able to see almost everything that's going on. That's gonna be a lot of fun. I think you'll have a great time.
Yeah, I will. And it's different than what you did, or I did a little bit, but you did a lot on PGA Tour Radio, is that we really don't have to paint the picture because it is a televised broadcast.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, we had a meeting, just Brian Hammonds, of course, and Jane Crafter, again, in the booth. I said, just call on me because there's about a second delay. So just call on me, and then I can give you what's going on down here, the wind, the lie, you know, what they have in their hand or whatever. And then when they hit the shot, shut up. And just let the television, let the ball flight tell the story. And so that's a lot easier than, you know, PGA Tour Radio, where you have to paint the picture. The ball's in the air. It's moving left to right. The wind's knocking it down. Pardon me, I just knocked my headset off, which happens out there, too.
What's the forecast look like, too?
It looks nice.
It's going to be warm. No problems with rain or anything?
No rain. 25% chance or something like that, so.
Yeah, okay.
You know,
okay.
I'll carry the old Gus Buster and the hotter than you know what rain suit just in case.
They don't breathe.
They're brutal, aren't they? Especially
they're brutal unless you're trying to drop 20 pounds, in which case they're perfect. Because you will.
I still have two PGA Tour radio, you know, rain suits in here, so.
You'll be dripping, yeah.
Oh, okay. I'll just get naked
good
under it, you know.
Well, it'll be fun. You know? Okay.
Hey, everybody.
TMI. Yeah, I know. Look at Frank. Frank's being carried away in handcuffs. What happened to Frank?
In a white jacket with my arms behind my back.
Yeah. The Brendan Sweeney police came and arrested him. Yeah.
Brendan, by the way, is my spotter. Brendan's my spotter, okay?
That'll be fun.
He's going to be telling me yardages and in my ear and all that, so. Oh, good.
Yeah. He'll be spotting the beverage cart for you.
No, don't say that.
Frank, we got one coming up the 18th fairway. Let's get over there.
I told him bring a thermos full of vodka. We'll have a good time in this tournament. But since it is going to be on LPGA.com and Golf Channel, I'll probably be on my best behavior, I would think. So,
sure. That'll be fun.
Yeah. I can't wait. I wish you were going to be there, man. Why don't you just fly in? Grab a quickie and come on in.
Maybe next year. Sure. I'll be there.
You could grab a mic and two of us could do it. That'd be fun.
Really? let me just show up with my own mic. Hey, Frank, come over here.
Well, you could do play-by-play, too. I mean, seriously.
I'd be scared to death, Frank.
Right. Terrified. You've only been on TV all of your life.
I'd be verbally shanking out of the bunker.
Verbally shanking. I hope I don't have a verbal shank. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hope you don't.
Oh, boy.
That should be fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward
to today. We're gonna get off here and hopefully catch in the next little bit. Again, we're coming to you with this podcast on Monday morning, and they're about to restart the Northern Trust, the first playoff in the FedEx Cup playoffs, and it's already being delayed some more because of more rain and wet conditions on Monday. We'll see if we can get the whole thing in. Again, it comes down to, I think, I mean, in these cases, normally the guys that are within three or four shots are the only ones that really have a chance. That's Cameron Smith and John Rahm at 16 under. Goes down to maybe you're talking Harold Varner at 12 and Corey Connors at 12, Victor Hovland at 13. Those guys, maybe. But as we talked about with Mark Zucchino, I think Smith and Rahm and Van Ruylen and all those, they're all going to be going for birdies. And they're going to be wet conditions. And it's going to be, you know, ball in hand. So you're going to have ideal lift and place conditions as well to really go after some of these pins. I don't see any way that these guys, no matter what they do and where the pin placement is, that somebody doesn't shoot a 64, 65, those final groups, maybe even 63. And that's what you're going to have to do.
Lift, clean, and cheat.
Yeah. But Rahm hit two balls on Saturday's third round, two balls in the water, still shot a 67, and still has a tie for the lead. I mean, he could have a comfortable two or three shot lead had he stayed dry, but he kept kind of, you know, getting in his own way. So we'll see. Yeah. Sometimes Rahm, you know, the emotional John Rahm comes out, and he can be his own worst enemy. You know, he doesn't stay calm enough, whereas Cameron Smith always seems to be very, very calm. Justin Thomas, we'll see, is right there as well. Tony Finau is the guy, though, Frank, we talked about. That's who I'm pulling for. I'd like to see Tony.
I'd love to see him get his second
pull it victory, through, make some big putts, and because it can really change your whole mindset of, can I really win? Because if you remember, Finau's only win, if I'm not mistaken, what I think was a split tournament, was it not?
It was.
He did not
play in a WGC. Opposite field event, yeah.
Right, so he played in the Barracuda Championship, or one of those, or the one in Mexico, I think.
Yeah.
So it wasn't even then, I think, in his mind, you know, as an official tournament or as big time as it could have been. That's what he's got to show for, otherwise, a phenomenal resume in the last 5-6 years.
Let me tell
so
you.
This would be a great win for
have
him.
Have you looked at the pin sheet yet?
No.
Which, for our listeners, y'all don't get this, but we do. It's brutal. I mean, it's 4 off, 27 back, 4 off, 23 back, 9 back, 6 off is the off the edge. I mean,
sure.
18 4 off, 4 off, 4 off, 5 off, 5 off, 5 off, 4 off. Come on. They've put these pins
But they'll be so soft, Frank. That's what I'm saying. I think these guys, you know, they know if you're hitting it from 157 yards, they know that club. They go at the pin, and I think that's what you're going to be seeing. I think their mindset is, I have to do that. If I don't, and I go for middle of greens because it's a tricky pin over here, if I do that too much, I'll get a bunch of pars, and I'm going to watch guys going past me. I think they're going to have to try the best they can and know that they're soft enough that the ball probably won't move too much.
So you've got number six. Let's take number six, for instance. The green depth is 32, okay? 27 off, 4 off the right back edge, 27 back. There's no margin for error. There's just – and 4 off, 23
pins.
Back on number 5. It's 23 from the front and 4 off the left side, and the water's all the way down the left side of that green. So
– sure. Well, I
– sadistically
placed. But that's what they
placed.
Get paid for, right? That's what they get paid for. Frank, you and I would sit there and knee-knock the whole round, but these guys – that's what they're supposed to be doing. So I think
– beverage cart.
I'm thinking these guys are going to – by the way, those back – back pin placements are the toughest ones because if they're front pin, even if they're close to an edge, you can spin that ball back, as we saw Spieth do a couple of times in his second round, spins it back into the cup or very close to the cup, and certainly in the third round, Cameron Smith did the same thing. Those back pins, you fly the green and you get it a little bit too much. Now you're in that thick, that's where it gets troublesome. So that's where those back pins, to me,
number,
even for the pros,
number
are
nine,
really challenging ones.
The green depth is 34, right? The pin is 5 off the left side in the very back of the green, 29 back. And guess what? The width of the green in the back on number 9
Yeah.
It's 9 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, see. Really? This could be
fun. There's
going
to be ones where I think the guys, they're going to have to be strategic, right? There'll be some where I'm sure they and their caddy will say, okay, this is not one we're going to go for. Okay, we got to go 20 feet to the right. We got to hit safe, do whatever. But there's going to be, I think, a number of those out of 18 pins. There's going to be a number of them that they're going to, majority of them, that they're going to have to at least go for in a fairly aggressive way to leave yourself a 20-foot, 15-foot putt. You can't expect to make a bunch of 25-foot putts all day long and win this tournament if you're one of those guys. So you got to give yourself – and the guy that does that, as we saw Cameron Smith, the guy that does that or the couple of guys that really do that and have their game on, that's who we're going to see, hopefully at the end of this day on Monday, win this tournament. Some guys that are aggressive and hit their shots and have their confidence going – that's who wins tournaments, and you don't want to be that guy. That's what I'm saying. You don't want to be the guy.
Don't be that guy.
Going to have to be aggressive. You don't want to be the guy who goes, oh, I got to play it safe again. I'll play here. And, again, you walk away with a bunch of pars, and you shoot a 69, 68 to the other guy's 63, and you're going, okay, well, that didn't cost me the tournament right there. So that's what I think we're going to see. I hope that's what we're going to see.
Yeah, I hope so.
It's going to be fun. In the next few hours, so it should be fun.
I'll have it on. Right. I'll be packing real quick when I finish this, and I'll have it on in the car on on my iPad.
Free to head to French Lick.
Yeah, I'll have it in the car. Are you kidding?
Be fun. So be
you hear
fun.
About that car crash, it's only because I was watching the tournament. No, kidding. Anyway.
Yep.
Well, let's get out of here so all I right. can go to French
We're
Lick.
We're done.
What do you think?
Yeah, head up to French Lick. It should be a lot of fun again this weekend. Watch it, listen to it. Senior LPGA Championship at the Pete Dye Course at French Lick Resort. By the way, one of our favorite sponsors, check out French Lick. Go to FrenchLick.com. You can find out more about that great resort and those two wonderful three-acre golf courses that they have there at French Lick. FrenchLickResort.com is the place to go to. We also want to thank our good friends at Club Corp. Go to ClubCorp.com to find a golf course near you that you can put your toes in the water, so to speak, and play around, see if it's a course for you and what other courses are in your area. ClubCorp.com. is one of our favorite sponsors and been a sponsor of ours for the last few years. We love them dearly, and you guys will too. The most wonderful golf people in the world are at Club Corp. All right, we're done for Frank Zucchino. Tying them all in together. For Mark Zucchino and Frank Bassett, thanks everybody for listening. Join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.